So our next speaker is Elaine Miller. She's speaking on vaccine safety inquiries to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention's Immunization Safety Office. Elaine is a graduate of the University of Florida College of Nursing. She also has an MPH in epidemiology from Emory University in Atlanta. She has been an epidemiologist with the CDC Immunization Safety Office since 2001. Prior to that time, she worked at CDC on surveillance of infections in dialysis patients and also as an RN in hospitals and public health clinics. Welcome. Good morning. How many of you work with immunizations? Okay. Well, good. Well, this morning I'll be speaking to you about vaccine safety inquiries that come to the CDC's Immunization Safety Office. And as a background, I hope everybody in the room knows that vaccines are one of the greatest public health achievements in history. And being at this conference, I've been surprised that there haven't been more immunization talks. Anyway, vaccines, like other medical products, unfortunately are not 100% safe or effective. So CDC has an immunization safety office that works with the FDA, and we do safety monitoring and research of vaccines post-licensure. We also answer inquiries that come to our office, and they come from healthcare providers, public health officials, and the general public. So to talk about the inquiries, first I want to give you a little bit of background on what our office does, and that will help you understand how we answer the inquiries that we get. Then we'll talk about the inquiries, and I'll give you some examples of questions, that's the fun part, and lessons learned from answering these inquiries. The mission of the Immunization Safety Office is to assess the safety of vaccines administered to adults, adolescents, and children. And we do a comprehensive approach to vaccine safety. And we do surveillance, research, we do education and communication. If there's a group of adverse events, we'll do an investigation. And we work with other federal agencies to further this mission. And just so you know, not only CDC and FDA, but several federal agencies work on the issue of vaccine safety. This slide shows the infrastructure of our office on how we monitor the safety of vaccinations. The first system we use is called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Can you all show me how many of you have heard of this system? Oh, good. Good. Well, it's our frontline system to detect vaccine safety problems. We also use what's called the Vaccine Safety Data Link, or VSD, and this is a collaboration between CDC and managed healthcare plans. We do active surveillance using large link database, and we have data on more than 9 million people, which is about 3% of the U.S. population. And the third system we used is called the Clinical Immunization Safety Assessment, or the CISA project, and this is a collaboration between CDC and academic centers. In addition to research, CISA conducts assessments of individual patients, and I'll tell you more about that a little bit later in the talk. So just to tell you a little about each of these systems, VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. As I said, it's our frontline system for monitoring the safety of vaccines. It's a passive reporting system. We accept reports from anybody. When vaccines are administered on the vaccine information sheet that's given out to patients, there's a section that says, what should I do if there's an adverse event? And in addition to contacting your healthcare provider, it says, report to VAERS. So I think that's one of the main ways that people find out about us. We get about 27,000 reports a year, or over 100 reports per business day. And we accept reports from anybody. We ask healthcare providers to report any clinically significant adverse event, anything that happens to your patient that you're concerned about after a vaccination. So VAERS is jointly administered by the CDC and the FDA. We've been accepting reports since 1990. Strengths are that we get national data and we can use it for rapid signal detection. The limitations are, since we accept reports from anyone, the data is not always perfect, the quality of the data, and also we cannot use VAERS to determine if a vaccine caused the adverse health event. The CISA system that we have has a really nice service that we offer to healthcare providers who need consultation on a specific patient. A typical question would be, I gave my patient a vaccination. He had a problem after it, or he got sick after it. I don't know if it was related to the vaccine or not. Now it's time for the next set of vaccinations, so I don't know if I should give it or not. So what we'll do is we will get medical records on the patient and schedule a call with our experts and with the patient's healthcare provider on the phone and discuss and then give advice on whether the next doses should be given. This is a free service, and we have an email box listed here where people can send their questions directly to CISA if they have a patient that they need a consult on. So that's the background of our office. Now we're going to switch and talk a little about the inquiries. We've been tracking all inquiries that come to our office in a database since 2002, and in addition to serving the public, this helps us to know what issues there are out in the community. We've had a previous publication on our inquiries from 2002 to 2009, and we found the main reasons people contact us were to obtain VAERS data for clinical or medical advice and for other safety-related information. You know, most people who contact us are not even familiar with VAERS, but they'll say, I have a patient who had an adverse event after a vaccine. I wonder if this has ever been reported or how often it's been reported. So we'll use the VAERS data for that. So how do inquiries get to us? CDC has several portals set up for the public and for healthcare providers to send their questions. We have what's called CDC Info, which is an email or a toll-free number. And CDC Info will take questions on any health issue. Then we have what's called NIP Info, stands for the National Immunization Program, and they answer questions only on immunizations. CDC also has an Emergency Operations Center that's open 24/7, and questions come through there. Now, if any questions come to these areas, they answer them, but if they can't answer them because they're complicated or requires subject matter expertise or a search of the VAERS data, that they'll send it, then they will send it to the Immunization Safety Office. And I wanted to show you this slide. This is the list of resources we use to answer questions. You know, the field of vaccine safety is very broad. People can ask about any vaccination, any topic. So these resources are very important. And I wanted to show you, because a lot of these are publicly available, so if you get questions on immunization or if you have questions, you can use these resources. I mentioned the VAERS database, which we use, but information from published studies. Our office has all publications listed on the website here. We have the CISA consultation service that I mentioned to you, and their email address is listed here. The vaccine package inserts are publicly available on the FDA website. Most of your questions can be answered just by looking at the vaccine package inserts. We also use the ACIP, or Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice Guidelines, and the Institute of Medicine Review of Adverse Effects of Vaccines. I'll show you that reference. And just published studies doing PubMed searches. So this slide shows you what the FDA website that has the list of all the vaccines with the package inserts. This is very helpful. This slide shows you the ACIP, or Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice Guidelines. The ACIP is a group of experts that are part of the Department of Health and Human Services, and they make vaccine recommendations for the United States. They have specific recommendations on each vaccine that are published in the MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. And the document that says General Recommendations on Immunization is also very valuable with information on contraindications and precautions and timing and spacing of vaccinations. Another resource I mentioned to you is the Institute of Medicine 2011 Review of Adverse Effects of Vaccinations. It's this green book listed here. It's also available online. The IOM has been reviewing vaccine safety for about 20 years now, and they come up periodically with reports. But I especially like this reference because at the back of the book, there's a table with all the vaccines listed and each adverse event. And what it will show is if there is a causal association or there's not enough evidence to determine if there's a causal association or if there is no causal association between the vaccine and the adverse event. So for this data summary, I wanted to show you from July of 2009 to December of last year, the inquiries we received. The main requester were healthcare providers, followed by state and local health officials, followed by the general public. And the main reason people contact us is to obtain VAERS data, to get clinical or medical advice, and then for other safety information. The main subjects of inquiries are VAERS, neurologic adverse events, and vaccine administration errors. And we've had an increase in the number of vaccine administration errors over time. A question would be, an example would be like, I gave a newborn baby a flu shot by accident. You know, children don't get their flu shots till they're 6 months old, so they want to know if there are any reports and what happened to those children. The main question we get asked about is seasonal flu vaccine, and of course the flu season is the busiest time of year for us. So now I wanted to show you some examples of questions that we've received. The first question is, example one is vaccine administration error involving influenza vaccine. This was a case of 20 personnel who got the inactivated flu shot up their nose. You know, there's a live flu vaccine that goes up the nose, FluMist, but by accident there was some confusion and they thought that this vaccine should be given up the nose. It was the shot, but they gave it up the nose. So when we were asked this, we get a lot of questions like this. Some of them are actually quite scary. To respond to this, we looked in the VAERS data and we found that there were 72 patients who had received inactivated flu vaccine in error into the nose, and fortunately none of them had had adverse events. And we told them that the 20 people should be considered unvaccinated and should be vaccinated appropriately. Example two was a question on general information related to hepatitis B vaccine. This came from a layperson. It says, can a person test positive for hepatitis from the hepatitis B vaccine? And actually, the answer is yes. If some people get a transient positive hepatitis B surface antigen positive after the vaccine. It's a false positive, and it'll go back to negative in about 18 days. And while you test, the vaccinee tests positive, they're not infectious. I should mention that, you know, most people who get a hepatitis B vaccine don't get, we don't know their status before. So if this happens, obviously you can't assume it's due to the vaccine. You want to retest them after the period of about a month to be sure it's a false positive. The next question is a neurologic adverse event after flu vaccine. You probably heard this one. Can flu vaccine cause Guillain-Barré syndrome or GBS? The answer is that, in 1976 with the swine flu vaccine, I think most of us are familiar that there was a risk of GBS after receiving the swine flu vaccine. That risk was about one additional case of GBS per 100,000 people who got vaccinated. And the reason for this association still remains unknown. So because of this association, over the years, studies are done to see if this has continued. Is there an association between seasonal flu vaccine that we get every year and GBS? And studies have shown the risk of GBS after seasonal flu vaccine since 1976 have either shown no risk or a small risk of about one case per million people vaccinated. And with the 2009 H1N1 vaccine, the risk was about 1 to 2 cases per million doses. And just keep in mind that if you have a patient who has gotten GBS within 6 weeks of a flu vaccine, that this is a precaution for flu vaccines. It's not a contraindication, but it is a precaution. The healthcare provider should weigh the risks and benefits and decide if the patient should get the vaccine. Example 4, another neurologic adverse event after flu vaccine. A 54-year-old male got the flu shot and developed Bell's palsy within 12 to 24 hours. Was this due to the vaccine? To answer this, we used the IOM report that I mentioned to you. And the IOM concluded that the evidence favors a rejection of a causal relationship between an inactivated flu vaccine and Bell's palsy. And 3 additional studies on this topic were done that were also reassuring on this issue. This last example I wanted to show you, because we do get a lot of questions on this, it came from a nurse practitioner. She got a flu vaccine. It was given too high in her arm, almost in her joint, and she had a lot of pain. She asked if we had ever heard of this happening. And again, to answer this, we used the 2011 IOM report, which concluded the available evidence convincingly supports a causal relationship between injection of a vaccine and deltoid bursitis, and it's associated with pain. As a result of this, we did some outreach to try to remind people of the importance of proper vaccination techniques. So limitation of this review. Remember, I'm just showing you the questions that came to our office, and that's a small snippet of the questions that come to CDC and questions in general. You know, many questions related to vaccine safety never even get to our office. But in summary, answering vaccine safety questions it requires broad expertise. We try to use appropriate language. Simple language for the public versus, different language for healthcare providers. Whenever we provide various data to answer questions, we're very careful to provide guidance in interpreting the data. People assume if something is reported to VAERS, then the vaccine caused it, and we know that's not true. It's just an association in time. When we get questions, we try to express empathy. And we have found that answering questions allows us to serve the public and the vaccine community, and it also helps to guide our research and surveillance priorities. This last slide is just to remind you that CDC does have hotlines to answer your questions. So if you have vaccine questions or vaccine safety questions, you can use any of these sites. Thank you.